Today on Real Radio.
God will move nations to bring about one man's life closer to the throne of God. And I don't know if we believe that. This book challenges our faith. It's all about David and his ascendance to the throne. Why? God's got a long-term plan.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. And as we look at chapter 29 and part of chapter 30 today, this section of 1 Samuel all appears to put David in a good light. Even one of the leaders of the Philistines speaks highly of David. But as we look a little bit closer, we see moments where David is possibly a little bit shaky with the situation he finds himself in. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called David, A Lapse of Faith.
1 Samuel chapter 29, before we dive into verse 1, remember where David's at. He is in a panic. David is thinking Saul is going to kill him, defeat him. He has forgotten that God told him earlier. Church, listen, has God told you something in yesteryear or yestermonth or a while back and you've forgotten? God told David, I'm going to give you the throne. He told him that so many years earlier. David's now forgetting. The pressures of life are taking away the promises of God. Isn't that the way it always is? The pressures of life will steal away the promises of God. And then right in the midst of that pressure, right when we're getting crushed by some pressure of life, some precious, beloved brother or sister will come to us and give us a piece of the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Yeah, I know that verse. I know that verse. We almost get insulted by their encouragement. David is in that place, and maybe you and I have been there. Well, I know you and I have been there. I've been there. Have you been there? Three of us? Two of us have been there. It's pretty tough. It's really tough when just three of us have been there, but it happens. When you just feel like giving up. David, remember chapter 28, he's in the state of giving up. He's fled to the camp of the Philistines, the arch enemies of Israel. He's seeking shelter with the enemy. He's not walking in the will of God, though God's got a perfect plan for his life. Christian, you may not be walking in the perfect will of God right now. Maybe you're wandering away, or maybe you're off the track a little bit. Listen, God will bring you back onto that path. He will not give up. You may, like David, be feeling, I'm going to give up, I'm going to quit. God will stay on you, God will work on you, and God will draw you back. He may speak to you in a Bible study, he may speak to you on a radio broadcast, he may speak to you through a verse or through a sunset. I don't know, he'll speak to you. It's his prerogative of how he speaks to you. And you begin to think, you know, I need to get right with the Lord. Simple things can get us right with God. I went to a church last Sunday. I was not here last Sunday, kind of on a 24th wedding anniversary slash vacation thing. And so we said goodbye to you on Wednesday night and then ran over to Hawaii and had a wonderful time. And you know what? We're sitting there and it was, just, you know, it's we're listening to Christian radio, as I said earlier, and there's a little song playing. It was the cutest thing. It was a Hawaiian praise song on the radio. And the song said, Jesus, we know that you're not coming back for a long time. And I, right there, I stopped. Wait a minute. And then I realized, wait a minute. I know why that little Hawaiian Christian guy, who I don't know, wrote that song. We were driving down H1 right past Waikiki while the sun was setting into the Pacific Ocean and the palm trees were blowing in the breeze and it's absolute paradise. No wonder why the guy said, well, we know that you're not coming back for a long time. That's a tough thing to be living in Hawaii and be thinking, Lord, please come today. It's like, what for? It's all there. But you see the sunset. And a brother before service said, isn't it awesome when you see the stars or the sunset? Or we were at this one beach this week. In fact, it was yesterday. We were laying down on this beach. And there's all these rocks out in the water. And then the rocks started to move. And they weren't rocks at all. They were giant sea turtles. And they came up. They were bumping into our legs. They crawled up onto the shore. And we just laid down next to them and took pictures with these things. And I don't know about you. If you're an evolutionist, listen, please hang on to your seats. But you got to be nuts. You've got to be nuts. This turtle comes out of the water. He's just sitting there. He's in the sunshine. And he falls asleep. And the thing is just going. He's sound asleep. And then there's a sign. It says, don't touch the turtle. And it says it's basking in the sun. That's what it said, basking in the sun. And I thought, you know what? Look at that turtle. I'm sitting there on this beach in paradise. I got my cell phone. You know, somebody could call. Something could be going on. I'm supposed to be laying next to the turtle. I wonder if everything's okay back home. Wonder how the building construction's going. And the turtle, what do you think he's thinking about? That turtle, according to the book of Romans, that turtle worships the Lord. Nature worships God. That turtle's probably saying, Lord, oh, thank you that I was not born in L.A. Oh, Lord, this is great. It was a perfect picture of peace. Right there, resting. And you look at that, and you see the grandeur of God. How can you look at these things and say, well, you know, it just evolved. That thing was a little kind of a worm thing. It thought about growing a shell. Got a shell, got some flippers, and at some point in time it reached the place where it said, you know what, this is about it. I'm moving to Hawaii. I'm going to lay on the beach. That's what this thing's thinking. You know, it's just God. God is sovereign, and yet he will not bend the heart of Saul, the wayward king of Israel. And so David's in exile, hiding with the enemy. And his lapse of faith, rather than looking at the things that God has blessed him with, he's forgotten. And verse 1 says, then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. They're getting ready for battle. And church, listen, God is in it. I know some of you pacifists don't want to hear this, but God is in it. He's bringing two nations together for war. And there's a reason. Verse 2, and the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. You know what that means? Some of you who are in the service, it's they are, as we would see in earlier days, Red Square. Or maybe in Beijing, where they bring the army through and all the rockets and all this stuff. They're passing their military might by, and they're bolstering themselves for war. They're going to go to war against Israel. So they're all going by. But look what the Bible says, verse 2. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Remember this, David seeking shelter with the camp of the enemy, and he's agreed. This is how much this poor man has gotten away. And yet God hasn't given up on David. David is going to fight with the enemies of Israel. He's with the camp of the Philistines. He's under the covering of Achish, the leader. And David's passing in the rear. Him and his guys, the Hebrew guys. And apparently they stick out like sore thumbs. I mean, I don't think milk cartons, you know, David had been missing for 10 years. I don't think there was a milk carton with his face on it. But they knew they were Hebrews. Plus, David, according to the scripture, was light-colored in skin and reddish-colored hair. That's kind of an interesting-looking guy, huh? And so look what happens. Then the princes of the Philistines says, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days? Remember, David had been with them, been no problem. In fact, it had been a blessing to them. Or these years. And to this day, I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. Or frankly, defected to our side. But the princes or the rulers, the leaders, how about generals of the Philistines, were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to battle. Here's the reason why. Smart thinking. Lest in the battle he become our adversary. I can understand that. For with what could he reconcile for himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Remember that song? We've been hearing it for a long time. Boy, that little single CD release got out everywhere, didn't it? I mean, the whole Middle East knew that song. Look at verse 6. Then Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright. Now, so Achish is going to speak to David. David, listen, these guys aren't going for it. I'm sorry about it. Surely, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day, I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, or I'm sorry, but the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, verse 7, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So this man's watching out for him, though he be an enemy. Stop right there before we go on. David is not walking in the will of God. Church, listen, is David one of God's children? Absolutely. Does God have a plan for David's life? Absolutely. Is God positioning two nations for battle? Yes. The outcome, as we shall see, will be certainly on the perimeter for many, many countless reasons, but one of them, in fact, if not the most preeminent reason, will be to establish David as king. And are you willing to believe God that much in your life? That he will move. Listen, this is a challenge to my faith. God will move nations to bring about one man's life closer to the throne of God. And I don't know if we believe that. This book challenges our faith. It's all about David and his ascendance to the throne. Why? God's got a long-term plan. And for that, I would say, what's wrong with us? Why do we think such small thoughts regarding our lives? God wants to do something with our lives collectively. As a church, we can come together. Though we may be small people, we can accomplish big things. Why? Because we have a huge God, number one. Number two, this is quite hilarious in my book, he wants us to get involved. Will he move us in our spirit? Yeah, he'll challenge us. Sometimes difficult things will happen in life to get us thinking a different way, a new way. You know, there's a lot of talk in business and corporate advancement to think outside the box. We've been hearing about this for, you know, 5 or 10 years now. You got to think outside the box. And there's books you can buy about thinking outside the box. Don't be stuck in your paradigm. Get outside the box. David is so far from the perfect will of God, yet he's in the permissive will of God. Now listen, the permissive will of God is a dangerous place to be, but a lot of Christians are content with living in that permissive will of God. They live right near the world. David is in the camp of the enemy. God hasn't forsaken him, but you can't expect blessings to come either. You know what David's doing? Listen, he's existing. He's existing. He gets up on Monday. He's safe. How do we know? Because Saul is not around. Neither is the Israeli army under Saul's control. He's safe. The Philistines aren't going to mess with them because there's not enough of David and his men to be a problem to the Philistines. So they got him in a manageable place. They got him busy. What was he doing? In between the lines of these chapter verses, what was David doing all that time? Was he cutting wood, sharpening his arrow? What was he doing? Was he writing some psalms? What was he doing? Then comes Monday. Then comes Tuesday. Then comes Wednesday. If you would stop David at any given day of the month and ask him, do you believe in the holy God of Israel? What would David have said? Absolutely. What do you think? I'm a pagan heathen? I'm the giant killer. I'm the kid. I'm the guy. I did it. It's me. Oh, that's great. That's good. Yeah, it was a long time ago, huh? Yeah, it was a long time ago, but yeah, anyway. Oh, well. What are we doing tomorrow? Well, I don't know. I guess we're just going to sit around and, you know, whatever we do. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, until you get in a place as a Christian that we just exist. This is what we do. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know where I work. You don't know who I live with. Is it difficult? Is it difficult? Let me tell you how difficult it is. Now, watch out. Because, see, if you write this letter, you know, Pastor, I want to take you up on that offer. You said Wednesday night to write you a letter about how difficult it is. And so here it is. Once upon a time. And you start writing. Just know this. The end of your letter, the end of it, there may be a response that says, the horrific story you just told is an awesome opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. You are so privileged and honored because God has placed you in this difficult situation as a Christian to change that scope of the world that you live in. You say, I don't know if I want to believe that. And that's the issue. Who's going to change it? Well, I was hoping some Mr. Wonderful would come by and change it for me. No. Well, I was hoping, you know, Miss Babe USA would come by and change it. No. And this is where we err as Christians. We start dabbling in other things to find direction, meaning, purpose, empowerment to make it better. I'm going to go to a self-help program on how to tolerate my fill in the blank. Kids, husbands, wives, dogs and cats. I'm going to go to this thing, and then when they do what they do, I'm going to just chant this little thing. I'm not upset. I am not upset. I am not. That does not work. It works great if you're the person taking the check from them, but it doesn't work. There's no power in it. Your life, my life needs to be changed, and God does that by the power of the Word. But listen, we take in the Word of God and we go, yeah, bring it on. I go to Calvary. We study the Bible. So bring it on. Come on. And we carry our Bibles. We have them right here. We carry them and we go back and forth to our car. We got our Bibles. And you know what? We can get so knowledgeable that there's so much weight up in our head that we better be careful the wind doesn't blow because we could fall over and can't get back up. Because there's no application. It's all in our head. God is saying, David, I'm moving nations. I'm touching the lives of generals and kings and leaders. Because what you have forgotten is that I have ordained you for the throne. I am not giving you a life to just sit around in the camp of the enemy, or in our case, the Philistines, or the flesh, to just sit around in the flesh and make no difference. Your life, David, will make a difference. That's why, listen, this is for all of us. That's why, if you look back, David, Jack, Betty, Carol, to the past, I had you kill giants when you were younger. That's why I had you step out. When do you remember when you were at that camp or you went to that retreat and you were just in high school or you were in college or when you went to that certain thing and that moment when you stepped and you actually did this for my kingdom? And do you remember what you felt like? God would say, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? It was uncomfortable for the moment. Things were going on. It might have been an outreach. It might have been a day trip down to Mexico for us, or maybe campus by the sea there in Catalina. I don't know, some kind of thing where you're at the camp and, you know, you step forward and kumbaya. and you make the ambulance, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. And you're, you know, sophomore or junior or senior in high school. That's it. I'm giving you all of it, God. I'm laying it down. And you write the little letter to yourself and you mail it back and it comes in a year. And it's, you know, how far am I now from when that day I made that commitment? What if David would have gotten a thing in the mail? Hey, David, look at this. Funny thing. It's a date here. And it's postmarked the Valley of Elah. And after you cut off Goliath's head and drug it around for a few days, you sat down and you wrote yourself a little note. You put a little stamp on it because you want to make sure you're growing with the Lord. And you put it in a mailbox. And it's come back around. And you wrote that day that the Lord in our weakness, He made us valiant and strong. That the Lord who inhabits the praises of Israel cannot be moved. Though the mountains shake and tremble, I will trust in Him. And though evil come my way, I know that with His right hand He will uphold me. He will be my strength. David writes this and it comes back. And now he's sitting in this place. He's a lover of God. You're a lover of God. I'm a lover of God. But am I in that place of God's perfect will? Well, how am I going to know? How am I going to know? Well, in every situation since we've started this wonderful book, frankly, it's been pretty tough going for David. He's been misunderstood. He's been ripped off. He's been made fun of. He's had spears thrown at him. He's had arrows shot at him. He's been lied about. And no doubt, at this chapter, he would, with us, throw our hands up and say, nobody understands me. To know me is to love me. Because that's how you think when we're not walking with God. It's warm. It's pretty fuzzy. Feels good. But David, I want to ask you this question. What are you going to do tomorrow? David, what are you doing next Tuesday? Just existing, I guess I am. Look at verse 8. Then David said to Achish, but what have I done? Well, the answer is nothing. And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you? That I may not go and fight against the enemies of the Lord my king? David, he's talking with the enemy. But Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. That's a beautiful witness, no doubt about it. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, you shall not go up with us to battle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called David, A Lapse of Faith. It's a study taken from 1 Samuel chapters 29 and 30, part of Pastor Jack's look at this informative Old Testament narrative, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we'll be coming to the end of this fascinating series here in just a few days. And by the way, if you missed any part of it, nothing to worry about. Real Radio will send you the whole series from the beginning, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of 1 Samuel, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just request 1 Samuel on MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.